This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. Ahead this hour, a few minutes with Layla Ali, the former world champion boxer, author, and entrepreneur, was in Rogers yesterday, and we asked her about her multifaceted career. And in our second half hour, a new edition of Reflections in Black with Raven Cook. This week, Raven examines the legacy of James Cone, an Arkansas native who developed a Christian theology connected to civil rights. Later this afternoon on NPR's Here and Now, Washington prepares for the release of a redacted version of the Mueller Report. Will it answer any lingering questions when it comes out tomorrow? Meanwhile, the Democratic field of candidates seeking to replace Donald Trump in the White House continues to grow. A conversation with Here and Now's political strategists. Here and Now begins at 1, right after our show. And the Small Business Series continues tonight at the Bentonville Public Library with a session dedicated to the basics of marketing. It will include a broad overview of such things as pricing strategies and marketing strategies. The one-hour session begins tonight at 6 at the Bentonville Public Library. You can learn more at bentonvillelibrary.org. This is Ozarks at Large. This month, Walmart announced it will be expanding the use of robots in its stores. The retailer's leadership says it wants associates to interact with customers instead of doing routine and mundane tasks like unloading boxes, scanning shelves, and running the floor cleaner. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek went to one of the stores to get a look at the autonomous machines that some critics worry will eventually replace workers.
Reagan Dickens, the director of corporate communications for Walmart, meets us at the Supercenter off Pleasant Grove Road in Rogers to show us the three robots the retailer plans to deploy in hundreds of additional stores across the country.
So what you will see here, we're now in the back room. This is the fast unloader.
The fast unloader is a type of conveyor system that can be rolled into a delivery trailer. From there, an associate will unload the boxes onto the conveyor, where they'll pass under a laser computer that scans and sorts each package.
It's scanning for what do we most urgently need on the floor. So as it makes its way down the conveyor system, you'll see these side arms sticking out with carts pulled up to them. Well, as it scans it, it identifies we need this box of mac and cheese to the floor quickly. It puts it on the first cart.
Meanwhile, the items that are lower priority get sorted into carts further down the conveyor system. Dickens says before they began testing the fast unloader, the process of unloading the trucks, sorting the packages, and getting merchandise to the floor would involve 7 to 8 associates.
This was a very hot, high turnover role. Associates now are beginning to like working back here because this machine here plays music. They can sync it to their phone. They can play their favorite tunes while they're unloading. It just changed the atmosphere a good bit.
Now Dickens says one associate unloads the trucks and two others man the conveyor system and carts.
That also releases other associates out to the floor to serve and sell customers. We serve and sell at Walmart. That's what we do. And so if we have more associates available on the sales floor to interface with those customers, it's a win-win on both sides.
Also tucked away in the back room until the overnight shift is the Auto C, or automatic cleaner.
What you're looking at here is what you would see if you went to a hockey game, what they call a Zamboni. This is a smaller version of it.
Dickens says the Auto C is outfitted with sensors that can detect whether people or objects are in its way.
As it approaches a stationary device like this yellow pole, if it approaches a customer, a shopping cart, a cart full of goods, it has sensors all around the machine and it's able to stop. And it's sitting there computing, are you about to move? Are you a customer? Are you a cart that's eventually going to roll off? Or are you a pole that I can simply go around?
And while the Auto C has a seat for a person, Dickens says it doesn't need one. Instead, a route is programmed into a computer, and the robot can clean that area in 1 to 2 hours.
With the maintenance team, it still requires them to prep areas. I would say in the checkout lanes. This is not going in the checkout lane. This is not going in the clothing section where the racks are really tight. So you have to really think about all the areas in a store that this can't fit. What does that require? It requires the maintenance associate. It requires them to be dust mopping, wet mopping, prepping areas, and getting ready for this, and then catching those areas where this can't fit.
There's also another robot that goes up and down the aisles of the store. This one is called the Auto S. It's an automatic shelf scanner.
So we found it after a little bit of a search through the store.
So we found Auto S. If you're standing here looking at it, it's roughly 7 to 7.5 feet tall. It's got this long, tall arm with a bright light that projects out of the top, and it's scanning shelves.
Dickens says the Auto S is using the scanner to make sure merchandise is in the right location, the pricing is accurate, and the shelves are stocked.
And all of a sudden, it gets to a spot here, and this cooler is missing, and it sees this out. It's documenting that. It's taking real-time photos. And when the associate pulls out their handheld device, they're able to see that real-time photo. So as they come to the shelf with a large cooler, it'd be pretty easy to spot where your out is.
Dickens says the real-time photo feature comes in particularly handy for restocking in an aisle packed with smaller items.
The real-time photo on your device is what helps you. It'll say in this, our store is really divided up into 4-foot sections. It'll say in this 4-foot section, here's the out. And it'll show you the photo, and you'll see right there the Pennzoil is missing, and you're able to put that product onto the shelf.
Eventually, Dickens says, the automatic cleaner will also serve as a shelf scanner. All three of these machines are able to communicate with each other and the handheld devices carried by associates to make sure customers can always get what they need at the store.
That's all data that's being fed by the Auto S. That's all data that's being fed and communicated through the fast unloader and, in the future, the autonomous cleaner, all to the associate's handheld device, where the associate can then take that product, get it to the shelf, work with the customer, take them to where they need to be in the store, and everyone's working in unison in this connected store environment.
Dickens says the automation happening at Walmart is part of the changing landscape of retail and how customers choose to navigate it.
As our customers determine, this is how I want to shop, I want to shop via my home device, my computer, I want to come into the store in a traditional manner, I want to do pickup, they're changing how they're thinking about it. So we're really surging the work to where they want to be as the customer.
But where does that put Walmart associates?
It puts our associates in a very similar place they are today. They matter to Walmart. They've been in our stores working for over 50 years, and there will be associates in our stores, if I had to guess, in another several decades as well.
Dickens points to the banking industry as an example, which saw the advent of the ATM about 30 years ago.
We were able to drive up to an ATM, withdraw our cash without a bank teller, and it was this revolutionary thing. And here we are 30 years later, and you walk into a bank and there's still people in there working.
So Dickens says while automation continues at Walmart, the associates are staying, although it's possible their roles will have to change.
That means if we've pulled a few hours out of the maintenance department, we're taking those hours, and where possible in all of our stores that we have these robotic machines, we're taking those hours and we're plugging them into where the customer is demanding them the most. Where is that right now? Right now, it's the online grocery pickup.
According to Dickens, over the last year and a half, Walmart has hired roughly 40,000 online grocery pickers because of the popularity of online grocery shopping.
We wouldn't have envisioned in our mind 5 to 10 years ago that we would have over 40,000 of these online grocery pickers doing these routes. Today we have them.
The same thing can likely be said about the autonomous shelf scanner, and there's surely more to come. Dickens says it's up to the Walmart innovation team to figure out where automation makes the most sense.
Because frankly, automation can do things in certain areas of the store in a really efficient, quick manner. That's fantastic. Let's put automation there. But there's also these other hundreds of jobs within a store and a distribution center and a fulfillment center that require that attentive associate to be able to communicate with the machinery, communicate with the product, get the product where it needs to be, and ultimately be able to interface with that customer.
By next year, Walmart plans to have the autonomous floor cleaners in 1,800 stores. The fast unloader will be found in 1,700, and the shelf inventory robots will be upped by 300 from the original 50 test store sites. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
This is Ozarks at Large. And ahead on the show, a poetry crawl.
The poetry crawl will start at the Fayetteville Public Library at noon, and then it will travel down School Avenue. It'll stop at KUAF around 12:20 or so, and then it will move down to Walton Arts Center around 12:40. And then we'll finish right outside the Walton Arts Center Rose Garden, where the poem will be installed and have a little ceremony and unveiling of the new poem.
A poetry crawl featuring the works of late Arkansas-born poet C.D. Wright takes place Saturday in Fayetteville. The nonprofit group American Rivers is issuing its annual list of America's 10 most endangered rivers. For the second time in 3 years, the Buffalo National River made the list. American Rivers says a hog breeding farm first permitted 6 years ago to operate upstream poses a threat to water quality and wildlife. Mark Faust, the superintendent of the Buffalo National River Park Service in Harrison, says the buffalo covers a lot of territory.
The watershed is a large area, much larger than the public lands administered by the National Park Service here. So only 11% of the 550,000-acre Buffalo River watershed are actually managed as public lands by the National Park Service. 61% of the watershed is actually in private hands, and 28% is in the hands of other public lands management agencies like the state and the U.S. Forest Service.
To that end, Faust is organizing a day-long river symposium Tuesday in Harrison for scientists who monitor the watershed. Faust says the symposium at the Duran Center at North Arkansas College will end with a session 5 to 7 Tuesday night, allowing the public to ask scientists questions. The Buffalo National River was visited by more than 1.5 million people in 2017, generating $62 million in revenue and employing more than 900 residents. Other rivers cited by American Rivers on the endangered list include the Gila River in New Mexico, the Hudson River in New York, the Willamette in Oregon, and the Upper Mississippi. Another week, another new direct flight out of Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport. Last week, Frontier Airlines announced it would begin service at XNA with a thrice-weekly nonstop to Denver. Yesterday, American Airlines announced it will offer direct flights to Philadelphia beginning in September. The flights will operate daily, leaving Philly at 3:50 Eastern Time and landing at XNA just before 6 our time. Flights from here to Philadelphia leave at 3:55 local time and arrive in the city of brotherly love just after 7:30 Eastern. Some of the younger residents of Bentonville will be asking other city residents about the past, present, and future of Bentonville tomorrow night. Sophomores from Thaden School will lead discussions in small groups tomorrow night from 6 to 7:30 out the Walmart Community Room at the Bentonville Public Library. Organizers say they want people to connect with neighbors and talk about their city.
Washington Regional's Her Health Clinic provides comprehensive care for women of all ages, including gynecological exams, prenatal care and deliveries, infertility treatments, and women's primary care services. With two locations, Washington Regional's Women and Infant Center in Fayetteville and the Springdale Center for Health in Harbor Meadows. WRegional.com for information. The choir of St. Paul's Episcopal Church will present in concert Sir John Stainer's oratorio, The Crucifixion, Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. St. Paul's is located at the corner of East Avenue and Dixon Street in Fayetteville. stpaulsfay.org for more information. Support for KUAF comes from the Fayetteville Yoga Fest, May 3rd through the 5th at the Mount Sequoia Retreat Center. This is a 3-day celebration of mindfulness and movement featuring yoga classes, meditation, outdoor activities, local vendors, and live music by Arkansas. Tickets and information available at FayettevilleYogaFest.com.
And this reminder, if you hear an interview or news story you enjoy on Ozarks at Large and would like to share with friends or family, you can go to OzarksAtLarge.com, use links there to share those interviews and stories through social media and email, OzarksAtLarge.com. You've probably heard the adage, to be one, you need to see one, referring to the importance of young people seeing someone like them achieving a certain life goal. Yesterday, we heard a resounding example of that. Layla Ali, a former world champion boxer who retired with a 24-0 record and happens to be daughter of Muhammad Ali, didn't think she could be a boxer when she was growing up because she was a girl.
I didn't start boxing until I saw women's boxing on television. It did not resonate with me that my father was a boxer. I was like, okay, he's a man, he's a boxer, I see men boxing. I didn't even know it was something available for me to do. So sometimes it takes seeing it to find that inspiration or to see someone else can do it to know that you can as well. It wasn't even a thought for me until I saw it.
Layla Ali, who is also an author, a cook, a television host, sports analyst, and entrepreneur, was in Rogers yesterday at a Walmart Supercenter to promote a new line of cleaning products she's developed called Homemade Simple.
They're using ingredients that are safe for you, your family, and the environment, which is really important. And I think that anybody who isn't using those type of products just isn't educated about why they should be. We're offered a lot of things on the market that aren't necessarily good for us. You know, and once I educated myself about it, then I could never turn back. Because once you know better, you do better.
The products are connected to the television program that Layla Ali hosts, also called Homemade Simple. Since she's retired from the ring, she's not stopped moving. She's also been an on-set host for We Need to Talk on CBS Sports Network, a sports talk and information show with an all-women set of anchors and reporters.
You know, I think it was time. It was needed to get a female perspective and point of view. And I think that it was, you know, many years in the making. It's doing really well. We've got sports analysts, athletes, just like on the men's shows. You know, you get a different perspective from women. So I think it's been absolutely amazing.
Before all of the recent success, though, Layla Ali says she was a troubled young person. She writes in her memoir, Reach, Finding Strength, Spirit, and Personal Power, that she wasn't always on a trajectory to become a world champion or an entrepreneur.
Well, I just was lost. You know, I had a lot of energy. I had a desire to find my own way, to be independent, but I was a rebel without a cause, and I got myself into trouble, you know? And then it took me getting in trouble to really say, you know what? What are you doing here? You know, and get myself on the right path, and I haven't turned back since.
Most athletes have the blessing and the curse to have to find second careers earlier than most of us. Layla Ali says she's already thinking about what's next for her.
I'm very ambitious and I'm an entrepreneur, so I have products in the making right now. I'm coming out with my own line of spice blends, organic spice blends, which I'm launching, which I'm super excited about because it's just an extension of my book, Food for Life, my cookbook. I'm doing a line of nutrition products and with this same idea of being, you know, ingredients that are good for you. No fillers, no junk, just all goodness.
The occupation that did send Ali to fame first, boxing, was a triumph. She retired from the sport without ever being defeated, and she captured 6 different world titles. But boxing, a livelihood derived from an opponent wanting to hit you hard. She says it's all a matter of what you're used to.
Well, you know, it's really hard to explain because I'm a fighter, and I think you gotta be a little crazy, a little different to want to be a boxer, to be hit for a living in the first place. But I try to explain to the average person who's not a fighter that it doesn't feel like you imagine because our adrenaline is going. It's kind of like someone's just tapping you. You know, every once in a while you get a harder one where you're like, oh, I felt that. But really, that's what it just starts to feel like. Boom, boom, checkmate, point, point, point. You know, and then sometimes, you know, but it also makes a difference if you're in there with a heavy puncher. I'm a heavy puncher. So you're going to feel it, you know, when I hit you. So a lot of times I only spar with men because I'd wear the women down and then it wouldn't be helpful for me to have a partner in front of me who's not really giving me anything back.
Layla Ali speaking at a Walmart Supercenter in Rogers yesterday. She was in Northwest Arkansas promoting her line of plant-based cleaning products called Homemade Simple. You can find out more about her at LaylaAli.com.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. Freedom is what happens to a man on the inside. It is what happens to a man's being. It has nothing to do with voting, marching, picketing, rioting, though all be manifestations of it. No man can give me freedom or help me get it. A man is free when he can determine the style of his existence in an absurd world. A man is free when he sees himself for what he is and not as others define him. James Howell Cone was born to Charles and Lucy Cone on August 5th, 1938 in Fordyce, Arkansas, otherwise known as Dallas County. Cone's family lived in the colored section of the town Bearden. After graduation from Ouachita Training School, Cone would attend Shorter College in North Little Rock, Arkansas, and Philander Smith College, earning his Bachelor's of Arts in 1958. In 1961, Cone would earn a Master's of Divinity from Garrett Theological Seminary and then earn a Master's and PhD from Northwestern University. As a young man during the height of the Civil Rights Movement, Cone would connect to the work of Black liberation. The frustration of racism challenged Cone to develop a Christian theology from the struggle to push America to live up to the words in the founding documents. Dr. Cone would form the language that would become Black liberation theology. Black liberation theology is defined in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture as a theological identity that was accountable to the life, history, and culture of African American people. To help promote the new path to engaging in the Christian faith, Dr. Cone wrote Black Theology and Black Power in 1969, which has gone through numerous reprints. Cone would go on to write several other critical texts, including The Cross and the Lynching Tree in 2011. Dr. Cone participated in numerous professional organizations, was an ordained and active minister, author of 12 books and over 150 articles, and the recipient of numerous awards, including induction into the Arkansas Black Hall of Fame. Dr. Cone would pass away on April 28, 2018, but his example of commitment to faith and service to justice, reconciliation, and understanding will continue to be light that guides us forward. Today, we celebrate the life and legacy of one of Arkansas's own, the incomparable James Cone.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can learn more about this series online at KUAF.com. Just search for Reflections in Black.
This is Ozarks at Large, and we are now stationed in the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio. That's where Timothy Dennis is. Timothy, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. Usually when we come here in the middle of the week, it's to talk about great live music coming our way.
Hopefully, I've got a great list lined up for this weekend.
Let's
go. I'll let you be the judge. Let's start with tomorrow night. A guy by the name of Rahim Al-Haj is going to be at Fayetteville Public Library. He's originally from Iraq. And he is going to present a program called A Voice for the Voiceless. It's music that fueled opposition to the Ba'athist regime in Iraq prior to the 2003 invasion by the U.S.
Okay.
But this guy, he's played the oud since he was in second grade. He's actually scheduled to be in our studio later today.
Okay.
He will also perform as a trio with two other people Friday night at Faulkner Performing Arts Center.
So two chances to catch him.
Two chances. The chance tomorrow night at Fayetteville Public Library begins at 6 p.m. and is free. The chance Friday night at Faulkner Performing Arts Center, tickets are $10 to $20, and the show starts at 7:30 p.m.
And if our scheduling works out, you'll hear him on tomorrow's show.
Exactly.
Okay.
So moving on, also happening tomorrow night in Fayetteville, Daikaiju returns to Smoke and Barrel Tavern. If you are unfamiliar, they bill themselves as psycho surf music. In case you're wondering, Daikaiju means monster in Japanese.
Right, Godzilla and all his...
Mothra would be a Daikaiju,
yes,
etc.
Absolutely.
That show at Smoke and Barrel gets underway tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Also happening tomorrow night, but in Johnson, Wright's Barbecue will have the Brick Fields duo.
Excellent.
If you're not familiar, Rachel Fields sings blues with a fantastic reggae feel.
She's great.
She's awesome. That show at Wright's Barbecue gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Also happening tomorrow night, but down in Fort Smith, Harry's Downtown is going to have Anna Benson. She normally fronts the Hot Springs-based rock band Moonshine Mafia. Searching for a solution they can never win. Her
But you will not be fronting them at Harry's?
As far as I'm aware, I think it's going to be a solo show.
Okay.
That show begins at 8 p.m. Again, that is tomorrow night at Harry's downtown in Fort Smith. Moving on to Friday night, Handmade Moments will be back in town.
With some vinyl in tow, right?
Yes, they are having the release show for the vinyl version of their last album, Pawpaw Tree. That's going to be at George's Majestic Lounge. Heirloom and the California duo Nathan and Jesse will open that show. Tickets for that show are $10 in advance, $12 day of, gets underway at about 9 o'clock. Again, that's Friday night at George's in Fayetteville. Just down the street at Kingfish Friday night, John Shorter will be on stage. He's played with various bands throughout the area, like Two Shock, but he also played at Willie D's on Dixon for years, so he's got chops.
Oh, wow.
And he's a very talented songwriter in his own right. That show at Kingfish gets underway at about 9 o'clock. Again, that's Friday night. Also happening in Fayetteville Friday night, Smoke and Barrel Tavern is going to have Matt Guitar Smith.
I like Matt Guitar Smith
a
whole lot.
He's an incredible guitarist. I didn't realize, but he's related to the guitarist from The Lovin' Spoonful.
I didn't know that either.
That explains a lot, though.
Yeah.
That show gets underway at about 10 o'clock. It's billed as a buffet of sounds.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty apt, considering who's playing. Again, that's Smoke and Barrel Tavern Friday night. Also happening Friday night, Adam Aguilar is going to return to Harry's downtown in Fort Smith. He is an Oklahoma City-based rock and roll guitar player and singer.
Yep. I'm on your trail.
That show has a $5 cover. We'll get underway at about 9 o'clock. Again, that's Friday night at Harry's in downtown Fort Smith. Moving on to Saturday, let's start in the day. Siloam Springs Farmers Market is going to have State House Electric.
Excellent.
State House Electric, they're kind of an old-time folk duo. They are supposed to play for about 3 hours starting at 10 a.m. Again, that's the Siloam Springs Farmers Market in downtown Siloam Springs. Okay, moving on to happenings elsewhere in the listening area Saturday. It's actually the return of Springfest in Fayetteville.
That's right.
There are two stages that will include music from The Pogs, Melody Pond, Samantha Hunt, Blacklisted, Drawing Blanks, and many, many others.
Is this still along Dixon Street?
Still along Dixon Street. Music gets underway also at 10 a.m. Again, that's all Dixon Street, downtown Fayetteville.
Okay.
Saturday night, George's Majestic Lounge will welcome back Boom Kinetic, which they are electro-pop band based in Fayetteville and Little Rock areas.
Just a lot of fun.
Rosie Hips are also on that bill. Tickets for that show are $12. It'll get underway at about 9 o'clock Saturday night. Now, happening kind of Saturday evening over in Eureka Springs, Joe Purdy and the Smoky Dewdrops will be playing at Basin Spring Park.
Well, we left this morning early, trying to beat the snow. Me and my old dog Charlie in the rain. And we drove through Oklahoma. It's a long, long way to go. Wondering how we got this far. why we came this way.
Okay, I'm going to guess the Smokey Dewdrops are Smokey in the Mirror and the Honey Dewdrops.
That's kind of what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If you didn't get tickets for their shows in Fayetteville at Roots HQ this week, earlier in the week, this is your chance to see them for free in Eureka Springs.
Well, how about that?
Because it's Music in the Park. That'll get underway at about 6 o'clock Saturday night. Again, that is Basin Spring Park in Eureka Springs. Now, moving on to Monday. There's going to be a band at Temple Live in Fort Smith.
Oh, Government Mule, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember them ever coming to the listening area. I mean, I remember seeing the Allman Brothers band several years ago here in Fayetteville.
Someone correct me, and they will if I'm wrong, but I think they played Chester's back in the day.
Well, that was well before my time, so it makes sense why I wouldn't remember that. Right. If you want to see Government Mule, tickets start at $25. They go up to $30 on Monday, and that show will get on our way at about 7:30 Monday night. Again, that's Temple Live in Fort Smith.
All right, that's good. You got us some free music. You got us some daytime music. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Kai.
When you can't find the light, the guides you through a cloud and day. Stars ain't shining bright, it feels like you lose your...
Rapper Jasper Logan has spent the last year and a half working through some feelings he had long suppressed. The result of his emotional journey is his latest album, 94 South to Dalton Avenue. Late last week, he came to Studio 123 to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about the emotional process of creating the 10-track album.
You have to deal with your pains and your hurts. Otherwise, they're going to come out some form, some way, and it may not be healthy. And so dealing with it kind of ensures that it comes out in a healthy way instead of in a way that isn't, healthy for not only for you, but for the people around you. And so that aspect actually kind of what sparked the whole, process of the album and, made me, really dive into it. I mean, the intro of the album with, me talking to my mom and getting in the car, that's super emotional for me. I can't even listen to it now. That literally happened, and it was at a time and point where I was man, the emotions started to just come out and, stuff that I hadn't dealt with. And so I was man, okay, I need to deal with this stuff.
I'm doing good. What's up with you?
I think I need to come home for a little bit.
You think you need to come home? What are you thinking about coming home?
I'm in the car now.
You're in the car now?
When I had made that call, that was, at the thick of it. I guess I'll start from the beginning. So, from the beginning, I had started, probably, last spring or something. Mm-hmm. I had just started feeling, all of these feelings of, depression and, just being tired all the time. I would come home and my girl would be like, yo, why are you so tired? I don't know, I guess I'm okay. And I would be out in a grocery store or something and immediately feel this weight or this pain in my chest and where is this coming from? And just get anxious out of nowhere. It's really funny though. So I was working at a nonprofit for in the city, and then one of the things we do every summer is we go through a theme with our students, and so this was right around the time J. Cole album had just came out, Killing Our Demons, where he's talking about you need to kill your demons, you need to address that your hurts and your pains from your past, and otherwise they're gonna hurt you, and you know. And so I'm that's good, so maybe we'll talk about that. And so with our kids, and so we start talking to professional counselors, hey, what happens when you don't address your hurts and your pains? And they start showing us all this research, and I'm like, oh snap, this is me. This is why I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing, and this is why I'm having these feelings. Because in Chicago, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. Not only was it just hard, in my household, but outside, there wasn't a lot of hope. There wasn't a lot of you just saw a lot of hard things. And because I thought that was normal, that's just how we grow up, I didn't address any of it. And even the things that were going on in my house, in my household, I thought that those things were normal as well, and that I should have been able to deal with it. And it wasn't until I got involved in counseling, and I'm telling him these things, and he's like, yo, that's not normal. Kids shouldn't have to deal with that stuff. Kids shouldn't have to feel that weight. And so then I'm like, oh man, this is not okay. And so, like, I start the process of, like, slowly, like, unpacking these things. But I had already, like, I mean, I had spent, like, 26, 27 years packing it down, like, not trying to feel these feelings, not trying to go back to those places. And so the moment, like, I'm trying to, I'm like, I realize, like, I don't actually know how to address any of these. And so for me, music has kind of always been that way of kind of addressing it, but not really addressing it. And so, like, even with the last few projects, like, success, like, there was a lot even going on surrounding that moment. But I think I was so caught up in, like, kind of what people wanted from me as an artist and, like, all this other stuff that I didn't, like, listen to myself. And so I just kind of, like, put out whatever. And even that started to weigh on me a little bit as an artist and then even as a person. And so, like, as I'm going through this process of unpacking my feelings and, like, realizing that, like, okay, why am I even doing all of this stuff? Like, why am I even doing this? I started to realize more and more that, like, you got a lot of things that, like, are wrong with this scenario, and you got to go about fixing it. And so, like, getting in tune with my feelings and, like, even the whole aspect of going home, like, there would be moments where, like, my counselor told me, he was like, yo, when you go home, just, like, don't be afraid to sit in those feelings that you feel. Like, when you drive down certain streets, when you, like, look at certain places, don't be afraid to just sit in those feelings and, like, write down what you're feeling. It's funny because a lot of the music comes from that. Like, and I think you can tell, like, when you listen to it. Like, even Dalton, like, that song specifically comes from, like, me literally sitting in front of my house that I grew up in and, like, just feeling all of those feelings of, like, what we used to go do. We used to walk to the gas station every day, you know, and they used to think we were stealing chips and used to think we were stealing stuff, and we were sometimes and stuff like that. And so it's, like, just, like, being able to sit in those feelings. But that's something, like, I hadn't done in a long time, because it takes you back to those feelings, and we don't want to feel a bad part. But I learned, like, even in the bad part, there's beauty in there, too. Like, there's good things that come out of there.
Cooler than the side of the pillow you never use. Back up in the city, I'm driving down avenues. Saw a black boy who reminded me of my youth. Felt like I should warn him about future problems to bloom. But honestly, I'm feeling I may be too far removed. Wish that I could tell him the fear was all just a ruse.
No, the album is interesting to me because there is that bit of nostalgia where you are looking back and you can tell their memories of you growing up in Chicago. But then there's also this aspect of being in the present and thinking about where you are now. I think it's the second song on the album that the song kind of breaks down at the end and a woman starts asking questions.
Yep.
And, like, very reflective questions, you know, like, what is this for? And, like, who am I? And, or who are you, I guess? And are those questions that you find yourself asking yourself now?
Yeah. So even then, like, I think when I move in from, like, Chicago to, like, here, I was in a lot of ways running away from a lot of, like, the hurt and pain, like, thinking that that move would, like, would bring about healing or wholeness when, or that transition would bring about healing or wholeness when it doesn't, like, you still got to deal with it. But I was under the impression that, like, okay, if I just change circumstances, then, like, I've changed, you know? And moving here, and even, like, the change and the transition of coming from a predominantly African-American space to where, and culture to, like, majority culture to where, like, you know, things are different here. Black Southern culture is different from, like, what I've grown up in. And so for a lot of the time that I was here, it was a lot of, okay, trying to understand, like, majority culture and, like, how do I operate in a space that, like, I'm, one, not comfortable in, and two, that I'm, like, that they're not comfortable with me in, and, like, I don't know how to, like, be myself in this space, or is it even possible to be myself in this space without, like, sacrificing, like, you know, who I am, or can I still thrive in this space without sacrificing who I am? And so these are all things that I'm dealing with, like, fresh out of college, like, you know, 22, like, 21, on top of, like, just getting married, on top of, like, moving. And, like back then, I didn't know, like, all of this happened in the span of a summer. And so, like, I didn't know, like, that was such a big, like, thing and that it weighed on me. Like, I just thought that's what you did again, like not addressing like anything. And so, like now I'm looking back like, yo, that's a lot. Like that's a lot to just be thrown into the wolves like that with no training, no like, yo, no outlets of like, if even to just like express myself and express like what I'm feeling and things like that. Are you satisfied? Are you happy yet? Are you satisfied? Life is but a dream. I question everything. What's the point of things? I'm losing all my steam. Focused on these streams, laughing at these memes. Is this the reason why we sing?
Another one of the songs asks of your dream. Another question, I guess, in the title, Are You Happy Yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a question you still ask yourself?
Definitely. I feel like that's like an ongoing question that like you just kind of ask forever. Like, you know, like, are you happy? Are you satisfied? And that's why, like, I made the song and, like, it repeats throughout the entire song. And, like, even because that's kind of what happens in life. You do something to try to get yourself to try to be happy. And then you ask yourself, was that enough? Like, does it make you happy? When really, like, part of it is, like, I think for me, like, I was trying to be happy and, like, changing outward thing. And it's not until, like, you start looking inward and you go, okay, these are the things that are going to make me happy. Like, if I'm happy in here, then, like, I'm going to be straight. But, like, if you're not happy with yourself, like, there's no way you're going to be happy with the things that are outside. So no matter what it is, you could change, like, jobs, location, 20 different times. Like, and for a little bit, you might feel happy. But, like, if you don't, until you start dealing with, like, what's inside, you'll never get that. So
the album is clearly a very personal project. Documents your personal journey. What do you hope that listeners who maybe haven't had that same journey as you will take away from it?
Man, just that they'll start the process of that. Like, I think that is so important. And I think for a long time, like, I didn't think anyone else dealt with hurt and pain. And so, like, when I started, like, uncovering that, like, I'm dealing with all of this, like, man, I started to realize, like, everybody's dealing with this stuff. And, like, but we're trying to run away from it. We're trying to do anything not to feel it or whatever. And so, which is kind of a normal thing, like, in the sense, like, we don't want to feel those pains. You don't want to deal with it. Like, you rather just, like, numb it or not address it. But I started to realize, at least for me, like, it was stifling me. Like, it was keeping me from, like, having healthy relationships. It was keeping me from even, like, reaching my goals in certain aspects, in certain ways. And I was like, man, like, I don't want this stuff to, like, prohibit. Like, because, like, my biggest fear is that, like, I don't reach my potential. And so, like, I don't want this stuff to, like, prohibit my potential or me reaching my potential. And so, like, I'm going to address it. I'm going to deal with it if that's the only way. And so, like, getting to a point of, like, just, like, talking about it and just, like, dealing with it, like, that's what I hope for people. Like, I hope that people listen to this and go, whoa, okay, what are the things that, like, I'm not addressing that, like, that I need to just take a second look at and address?
Congratulations on the new album, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
That was Jasper Logan speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda inside the Carver Center for Public Radio last week. He'll perform April 27th at Last Saturday Fayetteville. You can find out more about his music at jasperlogan.com.
The Komen Ozark More Than Pink Walk is Saturday, April 27th at the Promenade Mall in Rogers. This event, formerly Race for the Cure, will host a survivor breakfast and registration at 7 a.m. The program begins at 8:30 with a walk at 9 a.m. Honorary walk chairs are Todd and Dee Harbaugh. A dog area and kids zone will be available. Proceeds to benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark, KomenOzark.org, or 750-PINK for information. Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum and The Wall That Heals, on display in the Buckyball Field at Crystal Bridges from May 23rd to the 27th. This three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., and Mobile Education Center are free and will welcome visitors 24/7. DowntownBentonville.org/wall to learn more about The Wall That Heals.
This is a Wednesday edition of Ozarks at Large, an hour-long poetry crawl featuring the works of late Arkansas-born poet C.D. Wright takes place Saturday in Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich tells us more.
The Walton Arts Center, in collaboration with Open Mouth Reading Series, are celebrating National Poetry Month with their first poetry crawl in Fayetteville. Open Mouth Reading Series is a community-based poetry series founded in late 2015, coordinated by local poets Molly Bass-Rector, Peter Mason, and J. Bailey Hutchinson. The poetry crawl, featuring the works of the late Arkansas poet C.D. Wright, coincides with a summer 2018 four-block-long art installation on the surface of School Avenue by conceptual artist Stacy Levy called Topomap, which marks how water flows on the street surface. Megan Dale, engagement coordinator for Walton Arts Center, explains.
So Walton Arts Center coordinated with the Open Mouth Reading Series to put together a poetry crawl because we are installing a new poem along our Topo Map, which is an installation that we did as part of our festival, our Artisphere Festival, which is a festival that celebrates nature and sustainability. And we installed the Topo Map last season. And this season, the artist behind the Topo Map, Stacy Levy, wanted to put together a poem that represented the Topo Map, or that she felt connected to the Topo Map. So we picked April as the best month to install it since it's National Poetry Month.
The poetry crawl will span just four blocks north from the town library to the Walton Arts Center.
The poetry crawl will start at the Fayetteville Public Library at noon, and then it will travel down School Avenue, which is where the Topo Map is located. So it'll stop at KUAF around 12:20 or so, and then it will move down to Walton Arts Center around 12:40. And then we'll finish right outside the Walton Arts Center Rose Garden, where the poem will be installed and have a little ceremony and unveiling of the new poem.
Three regional poets will read selections from the works of C.D. Wright.
So we'll be starting the poetry crawl at Fayetteville Public Library, where two regional poets, Landon McGee and Samuel Binns, will be reading. And then we'll move to KUAF, where Noella Young will do a reading. And then finally, we'll end at Walton Arts Center, where Carolyn Guinzio will be reading.
Born in Mountain Home, Arkansas, in January 1949, C.D. Wright received a bachelor's degree from the University of Memphis in 1971 and an MFA from the University of Arkansas in 1976. She published numerous volumes of poetry and essays over the span of her life, for which she received many literary honors, including from the Guggenheim Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts. She also served as State Poet of Rhode Island from 1994 to 1999. In 2013, Wright was elected Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets. She was co-editor with her husband, Forrest Gander, of Lost Roads Publishers. Wright taught at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. She passed away in mid-January 2016. Gander continues to promote her work as well as his own. The words to Wright's brief staccato poem, Flame, will be installed on the corner of School Avenue and Dixon Street.
And we've printed the poem on blocks that will be installed on the sidewalk. So they look, they're almost like stickers in a way, so we'll peel them and press them down, and they should have a good long life living on the sidewalk there.
Flame, from the collection Steal Away, Selected and New Poems, was published by Copper Canyon Press in 2002. Here is a remarkable recording of Wright reading Flame, courtesy of the Poetry Foundation, an independent literary organization committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in our culture.
Flame, the breath, the trees, the bridge, the road, the rain, the sheen, the breath, the line, the skin, the vineyard, the fences, the leg, the water, the breath, the shift, the hair, the wheels, the shoulder, the breath, the lane, the streak, the lining, the hour, the reasons, the name, the distance, the breath, the scent, the dogs, the blear, the lungs, the breath, the glove, the signal, the turn, the need, the steps, the lights, the door, the mouth, the tongue, the eyes, the burn, the burned, the burning.
Megan Dale says the public is also invited to view Saturday afternoon a small collection of personal right artifacts held by University of Arkansas Special Collections.
So they'll be set up at Fayetteville Public Library beginning at noon with different published works of C.D. Wright's, some first editions, other limited editions, and some archival material of hers. So they'll be on hand for the public to kind of see and interact with and learn a little bit more about this poet from Arkansas.
You can learn more about the first annual poetry crawl on Fayetteville Public Library's events page. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And contributors to this edition of Ozarks at Large include Susanna Sitek, Antoinette Grajeda, Timothy Dennis, and Jacqueline Froelich. Timothy also mastered our show today. Reflections in Black is written and hosted by Raven Cook and produced by Lee Wood at the Carver Center for Public Radio. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean, and his new album, Safe in Sound, is now out. You can find out more at darylshawn.com. A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Osage. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for listening. We're back at noon and 7 tomorrow. And you can hear more news from our region at 5:30 and 7:30 tomorrow morning with Antoinette Grajeda's newscast. Antoinette also curates the music at the end of many of our shows. And to end today's show, she selected Watch It Burn by Route 358, a version recorded just for us in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Route 358 will play live at Levi's Gastro Lounge and Pub Friday night in Rogers. That will begin at about 8 Friday night. You can learn more either at levisgastrolounge.com or Route 358's Facebook page.
The door and watched it burn. I'm on the run, not sure what from. What I've been through, there's not a guilty bone inside. Bruises heal, someday I'll feel some remorse, but I feel nothing now. Gasoline, a little kerosene. Door and watch it burn. Pour the whiskey and tell it made him smile. Little flirting kept it flowing for a while. Let him down and I slowly slipped him burn. Lock the door and watch him burn. Lock the door and watch him burn.